Does your congregation seem listless and unfocused on the activity of God in your local fellowship? Without a plan to involve believers in the spiritual life process and the practice of spiritual disciplines, you'll continue to see low levels of spiritual activity and vitality. Today, we look at how we can lead our congregations in a spiritual life atmosphere that elevates faith, expectation, and renewal right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. Delighted you've decided to join us today. We've got a great episode lined up for you as we talk about spiritual life, spirituality, and even about putting some plans together and the importance of having a plan. You know, I was thinking, Bruce, January has come and gone. We're closely approaching the end of February, and so we're looking into March, and Easter will be here, before you know it. And it just seems like if we're not careful and intentional about putting some plans together, especially spiritual life plans, the before we know it, the year has escaped us, and our churches, our personal lives as well, can kind of be in the same place that we began the year. So we're going to try and tackle some of that, and hopefully offer some practical solutions of how to put a plan together, the importance of having a plan for spiritual life. Help to raise the temperature, if you will, turn up the thermostats in our personal lives and in the lives of our churches. So it's going to be a great episode today here on the Five Gifts Podcast. How are you doing, Bruce? How's everything going all right in your world today?
Yeah, things are going great. And we got, the cold weather is just kind of hit or miss around here. It seems like we had a long spell, about a week, where the temperatures were sub-freezing, and it's been a lot better since then. But I had kind of a nightmare scenario happen last week. We'd come home from a long day, and the heat wasn't working at our house, and so I had to, look at what was going on. I thought it was late, and we had a busy day the next day, so I was trying to get a call in so I could get a call back in the morning first thing from our heat and air people. And I made the call, let them know I needed them to call back as soon as possible in the morning. And I began to think about that heating system and the things that I had seen done on it before. And there's a sensor that has been replaced. And so I just happened to Google that, found a YouTube video that showed how to scour the heat sensor. In many cases, it can work if you'll get a good scrubbing on it. So, Charles, I did that. I watched that video and I did exactly what they told me to do. And I put that back in place. And we have an expression around my church, my community, called YTC. It means YouTube certified. And so I am a YouTube certified HVAC guy. I can't do any work for you, but I can manage to get my own heating system worked. And sure enough, it fired right up after I did that. Kind of makes me think of our podcast, that if, you're looking to find a new level of leadership in the local church, then get your YTC here at the Five Gifts Podcast.
That's right. That's right. So I just wanted to, we usually do this at the end of the episode, but I just want to put it up right up front after hearing that wonderful, wonderful story from Bruce that you can reach Bruce at coachingcardia.com for your spiritual formation needs and your YTC HVAC needs as well. So reach out to Bruce and he'll be glad to give you a free estimate and charge you a hefty truck service fee to just come over and check out your HVAC complications. All right.
Well, Charles, as we transition to today's topic, can there be a disconnect between our churches and and the life and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And if that's the case, how do we address it?
Well, you're the master of segues, Bruce, and this evidence right there. What a great segue, man. There's absolutely can be a huge disconnect in our churches. Talk about spiritual life. You know, one of the problems or one of the challenges or difficulties that we have to address in the life of the local church and the life of believers. Most church attenders connect with God sporadically. It's not, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, if you've been in church leadership for more than a week, you understand that. Just the human nature, our nature as humanity. Church attenders connect with God sporadically. Oftentimes, our church attendance substitutes for spiritual disciplines. And then you combine that with having no comprehensive spiritual life plan or no scheduled spiritual life activities on the church calendar. That is a recipe that ensures the spiritual life of the church will remain ineffective. And so, you know, what we understand, what we know, what's clear and evident is that much of God's church suffers from spiritual weakness. And again, it all comes back to just when left to our own devices, when left to our own motivation, if you will, or our own initiative, just as human beings, we as church attenders, we connect with God sporadically, and so it creates, just across the board, an ineffectiveness, a weakness in our local churches. There's no spiritual vitality. I talked about, I just kind of referenced turning up the thermostat, turning up the temperature. Our spirituality is cold. It's weak. There's no life to it because oftentimes we have not taken an intentional approach in scheduling and in being in concentrating and being focused in our spiritual life. And so it can create a huge disconnect, a huge gap in the life that Christ has called us to. Another point of that is that spirituality often turns toward human agenda rather than God's agenda. Imagine that, making things about ourselves rather than God. You know, who would have ever imagined that human beings that we would do that? But humanly devised activities are often substituted for the authentic and present activity of God. It leads to a diminishing of the supernatural presence of God in worship as decreasing spiritual experiences shift spiritual life to more of a form than a reality. And so as we move on this this continuum, we tend to drift. And so human agenda takes the place of God's agenda, of the divine agenda. Our activities, our programs, the things that we're drawn and attracted to, the things that we're comfortable in, oftentimes become substitutions for the authentic and present activity of God. And again, when that becomes the life of the church, and for far too many churches, that is the present reality. It is a reality of human agenda and human activity that's replaced God's agenda and divine activity. And so it creates huge gaps, huge disconnects in our spirituality. And so, Bruce, that's just a couple of the factors for low spiritual vitality within a local church. You know, those are some observations, at least from my end of it. So anything that you've observed or anything that you kind of add to what I've offered up so far?
Sure. Charles, I believe there's a continuum, you know, in what you've talked about. I just see in my mind Just like a continuum where on one end you have sporadic activity, where, you know, connection with God is not planned. It's more accidental. At best, it can be going through the motions. And then on the other end, you've got the constant pull toward a human agenda. And I don't mean a human agenda that's driven simply by humanism or a disregard for God, just no interest in God. A lot of times it's just life happening, and churches are no different. Churches are going to experience downturns. They're going to experience financial issues. They're going to experience things that happen that just seem outside of what you were hoping for. And I believe that can, you know, the reaction to that can turn us to a more of a human agenda. We've got to take measures just so we can survive, so we can pay the bills, so we can keep the lights on. A lot of times, you know, we settle for putting people in positions just because we need someone there. And that can reflect a very human-centric approach. It's not an excuse, but it does tend to be, I think, a functional reality for a lot of people is, we've got to do something now. I don't have time to seek God out on this, you know. Gosh, that's really honest, isn't it? But I think that happens. And what happens is what you talked about. It leads to a diminishing of the supernatural presence of God. We're not up on what is God doing among us. We're kind of focused on what do we need to do to survive, or what do we need to weather the storm. And, you know, I just think that's part of human nature. And the thing about the church, it's made up of humans, and we can tend to lean into our own understanding a lot of times. I think if we're looking at some factors that contribute to low spiritual vitality, I would say bottom line, first of all, it comes down to intentionality. I'm a firm believer in Joshua's credo, choose this day whom you're going to serve. You know, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I think that's a very intentional daily conviction that you set the course of your life and say, this is what we're about. And that's a value, I think, that needs to be enshrined in kind of our day-to-day living, that we're going to be people that seek the Lord. But when we think about the local church, I think there's a couple ways that happens practically. Number one is there really is no accountable plan to practice spiritual disciplines. There's more of a hit and miss approach, more of a, I haven't thought really about this, but maybe we should plug this in. And that's a poor approach. And so being more intentional by looking at the spiritual disciplines that you associate with your congregation. I know, you know, Charles, we focus on 9 spiritual disciplines, at least areas of spiritual disciplines, and they're not comprehensive, but they're very balanced, and they touch so many of the areas I think that are necessary. For example, worship, how we worship God, how we pray, how we read and study the Word of God, how we proclaim it, practicing submission in relationship together, how we fellowship together. That's another area of spiritual discipline. The idea of fasting, which we talked about last week. I think it was probably one of the best episodes we've done on any of the spiritual disciplines. So make sure you go back and catch that one on fasting. The communication in the church, how we communicate both with God and how we're communicating with one another. Stewardship is huge. And how we practice being good stewards of the resources of God. Ministry and service. You know, it's easy to just say we need volunteers, but how does that look in the calendar of the church? The idea of practicing that component of spiritual life. One thing about them is that we have to recognize that the practice of spiritual disciplines, they happen they happen in a public sense, but they also happen in a private, quiet, almost semi-private sense. So we want to take time to think about how do we plan and schedule the practice of those spiritual disciplines. Another factor is there really is no individual accountable spiritual life plan for the core of the church. From your leadership team into that core group that really does drive the church. It's made up of your volunteers. It's made up of some of your more historical personalities in your local church. But when there is no really accountable spiritual life plan that brings them into a consistent daily experience with the presence of Jesus in the Word of God, I believe that's a major factor in why the spiritual vitality of the church goes kind of low. You know, a guiding number to think about when it comes to the core of your church is we talk about getting 10% leaders, but if you think about 21 to maybe upwards of 30% of your local church, you're talking about a group that can significantly move the church forward. Charles, we talk about even in Passionate Core Prayer that you concentrate heat in the few, and then that will disperse into the life of the congregation. And so I think it's important that we focus getting the core of the church involved in a spiritual life plan. So that would be another factor. And then I think a third factor is something we address often because it's so important for spiritual leadership in the local church, is when there's not enough passionate prayer with a group of leaders that exists in the church to lift the church and receive the corporate, God-directed marching orders. And if you've tuned in with us before, you've heard Charles teach on passionate core prayer and how vital that is to getting the leaders on board and beginning to pray what Jesus is praying for the local church. And when that's not happening, you're going to find that the church has a low level of spiritual vitality and it needs some critical attention. And so, Charles, why don't you offer some remedies? Maybe we can go back and forth on some of those, but what are some remedies for these conflicts in the local church? Where would you begin?
Well, I think a great place to start would be to activate and then to calendar all 9 spiritual areas of disciplines privately. So, we're talking about prayer, fasting, worship, Bible reading, fellowship, submission, communication, service, stewardship, all these non-spiritual disciplines, again, that we tend to focus on, that we advocate for, activate those and calendar those privately. We just believe that spiritual formation, the spiritual life of an individual, of a church, it begins inwardly and works outwardly. And so begin to do that in a private setting. What is private prayer? What is fasting for you individually? What does that look like? What is your Bible reading for you as an individual? Begin to work through these 9 spiritual disciplines and then begin to figure out, okay, how am I going to calendar these 9 disciplines, privately for me individually? Activate them, begin to calendar all 9 areas of those disciplines, and you're going to begin to feel the heat begin to intensify in your individual life. So that's where I would begin, would be privately. Begin to activate and calendar those 9 spiritual disciplines.
Well, I think another area when we talk about those scheduling those spiritual disciplines, we need to think about the semi-private or what we might call semi-public family-like environments. And that's putting each of those disciplines into the space for where you're not talking about private devotions. You may be looking at that spiritual discipline expressed in like a small group. It could be a smaller ministry group, but getting those groups in scheduled intentional practices and activities. Charles, when you think about semi-private or semi-public, maybe we could take a few moments and talk about what those groups look like in the local church. For example, how would you schedule let's say fasting in one of those groups?
Well, I think you could as you have like your small groups, as you think about the small groups that are in your church, again, whether you have that formalized as a formal system, or if it's just kind of a loose collection of informally formed small groups, you could go to those small groups and say, "Hey, look, we're going to do some a season of fasting. We're going to do for the next month. We're going to focus on fasting here in the church, and we want your small groups to really facilitate and carry the heavy load of that. And so as a small group, here's what we'd like for our groups to do as they're fasting. And so I think that could be a good way to facilitate fasting through the church, begin to massage the discipline of fasting through a semi-private setting in a small group. As you mentioned, I think it could be a powerful and highly effective way to practice a spiritual discipline in a semi-private or semi-public kind of setting. I think another way to practice that discipline in a semi-public setting would be, we've talked about, you mentioned passionate core prayer. That is a prayer group. That is a discipline of prayer that meets in a semi-private setting. That's not a prayer meeting where the whole church comes and or is invited to. That's by pastor invitation. Pastor invitation only to come into that prayer meeting. And so, we don't do that in front of the whole church. I've held those in the pastor's office, in a Sunday school room, in a different, just kind of a semi-private setting. But we come together and practice that spiritual discipline of passionate core prayer. So for me, that's just a couple of things off the top of my head, in a small group to facilitate fasting, in a semi-private room or setting to practice that discipline of passionate core prayer.
What we're saying is when we want to build the spiritual life of the church, we have to go from the private to the semi-private, and we'll talk about the public in just a minute. Mm-hmm. But we're bringing those activities into three experiences that every person has in their private life, their small group life, and of course in the public life. And so I think it's important that we understand, just like we're asking, let's say we're asking people to participate in private devotions. In our church, we call it our spiritual life journey. And so I've got people engaged in 15 minutes of prayer, 15 minutes of a Bible reading, and we've provided some resources to help them to pray. In fact, every week they're going to get a list of a prayer model for every chapter of the New Testament, because that's the spiritual life plan this year, is to read through the New Testament. And so they get to engage with 15 minutes of Bible reading, 15 minutes of prayer through that resource, and that's their private devotions. And we've had a pretty good level of participation in that for this year, certainly beyond our goal. But then secondly, we're moving that into a semi-private, like a small group. We want people involved in small group ministry participating in some planned scheduling of those activities. So Charles, I just thought it was really important we make those distinctions and how we're tapping into each of those areas of a person's life, privately, semi-public or semi-private. And now talk to us about the public scheduling and being and intentionality of those disciplines.
Absolutely. You know, oftentimes we don't think about spiritual life as a layered approach. You know, we think about private devotions or private worship, and that's kind of what gets hammered, you know, but this is, we're really trying to take a layered approach. Again, working from the inside out. So privately, semi-private, and now the public expression of a spiritual life or worship. What does that look like? Well, it's the same principle that we've said in privately and semi-private. We're going to encourage churches activating calendar all 9 spiritual disciplines publicly in the congregation. So it's the same principle, but now it's a public application. And so how do we do that? Well, in order to really lift the church and lift the spiritual life of the church, we want to recruit 40% of the church to participate in private devotions 5 out of 7 days a week. And, you know, again, in our understanding of the church and spiritual life, what we really push for and encourage is private devotions. But we just believe devotions, private devotions or semi-private, but now public devotions, this public expression of devotions offers the greatest possibility of spiritual lift in the church today. Listen, if the greatest way, I believe, to help people build their relationship with Jesus is in devotions. And so if you want to experience the presence of Jesus, we want to help people engage in devotions to engage the presence of Christ. So we're going to get a little technical here, and I'm not a math guy at all. So, you know, somebody fact check me. I don't want any fake news going out. But a church of 200 people would, let's say, recruits 125 individuals to participate in devotions for an average of 15 minutes a day. So 125 times 15, that equals 1,875, divided by 60 equals what you come up with. It's 31.25 hours of spirituality a day. So just think about that, a church of 200 people. If you can get those 125 individuals for 15 minutes a day, that size of a church, what you're doing, you're getting a little over 31 hours a day combined within the church in spiritual life. That really brings a great lift into the church, because this spiritual life activity, it places the individual in God's presence. Therefore, they're in relationship with God. And that's what we're doing in spiritual life. We're trying to facilitate. We're working to bring people into relationship with Jesus. And again, the greatest way to do that is devotions. And so we're working with a public expression, again, about 40% of the church participating in devotion. A next step in this public expression would be identifying a core of leaders to assemble in a semi-private room and offer 10 hours of passionate prayer for every 100 congregants. What happens here? We are discerning God's agenda for the church. This is the prayer script or the prayer model that really guides our time of prayer. The passionate prayer with core leaders, it offers the largest possibility of stimulating God's spiritual power or God's agenda, his mission for the church. And so as an example, the church of 200 people should participate weekly in about 20 hours of passionate prayer. So again, we would recruit about 20 people, 20 leaders, and then begin to fill in with the intercessors and the kind of the prayer warriors of the church. But a church of 200, to sustain that size of church, you're going to need about 20 hours passionate prayer. So you can get 20 hours praying an hour a week with 20 people praying an hour a week with you. Then you've built that infrastructure, if you will, that will sustain that size church in prayer. And so, look, if these private and semi-private prayer disciplines occur, then adding weekly public worship services, as well as special seasons of congregational participation in varied spiritual disciplines, maybe, 2 to 3 times a year, all of those things working together result in great spiritual life lift for the church. And so again, we're looking at a layered approach from the private to the semi-private, now to the public expression, and all those things working together lift the church in tremendous ways. So those are my thoughts about the public expression. Bruce, any thoughts that you would add to what I've offered?
I think it's one thing that's, I think it would be important in communicating this to your congregation is to enshrine it as a value, celebrate that your church is practicing spiritual disciplines. Now, discipline can sound like an unfriendly word, but if you'll teach on it, let people know that spiritual disciplines are the means of meeting with the Lord, experiencing His presence, and inviting His life into your church. And so we look at whether it's private devotions, or whether it's a passionate core prayer, or whether it's fasting, or whether it's the fellowship among brothers or sisters in Christ, then I think it's important. I would begin to elicit some testimonies out of the congregation, and elicit testimonies of people in their private devotions who have maybe really that's new to them, and they've started participating in that. Celebrate that with the church. We're big into testimony, and testimonies are, I think, maybe one of the forgotten values of the church. But the idea that someone is sharing what that has done for them personally, I think it's important that all the church hears that, and that's also a way that you can bring celebration of what the Lord is doing in your church, to bring that to the surface. You may want to talk to your small groups and find out, what are the testimonies that are happening in this group? What is the spiritual vitality that's happening around Bible study and praying together? We're at a point in our church where we need to grow our passionate core prayer team. And already I'm eliciting the testimonies coming out from people that have been part of Passionate Corporate, what it's done for them personally. And I think it's important that we bring those out to the congregation. That's the public setting, and letting them experience those wins with us. I'm saying this because I think the Lord is teaching me this, because as I've been faithful to put out the challenges to, read private, participate in private devotions and participate in passionate core prayer, I know my prayer team is needing to hear the testimonies that I'm hearing. And so I want to bring what's happening in the congregation back into that passionate core prayer team. And I can't wait to tell them this Tuesday. We've been praying for the release of visions and dreams and prophetic words. And I've been getting testimonies from people in my church that are not part of that prayer meeting. And they're telling me, Pastor, the Lord is doing something in me. I've been having dreams at night, and I'm recalling them vividly when I wake up, and I feel like God's giving me some direction, or God's giving me a burden to pray for something specific. We've seen an increase of spiritual gifts in our church, in both our corporate public worship service as well as small groups. Well, guess who's been praying for that on Tuesday nights? We've been praying for that passionately, asking God to release dreams and visions and impart the gifts, all the gifts of the Spirit in our congregation. And so I just think there's an important principle there, that we need to celebrate those wins. We need to bring that back into what's happening publicly we that needs to be shared, but we also need to find those things that are happening privately and bring them into the public space so our people can be encouraged and realize that it's given a voice and release for where spirit, those pockets of spiritual vitality, where they're happening in the church. And just as we've talked about, Charles, you concentrate on the few, but that'll bring heat to the whole. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I was just thinking, you know, someone might kind of had the question, well, that's great, a layered approach and some private, semi-private, public, but what does that look like in real life? And so I was just thinking, you know, as I've led churches in my pastoral ministry, we practice this approach to spiritual life. And so just a couple examples of how these disciplines work from the private to the public in a real life setting. So private, talking about private devotions, you know, I'm a big proponent of that. And so we use the SOAP method. And so that's Wayne Cordero, great pastor in Hawaii, developed that. That's his acronym. And so we've borrowed his SOAP method: scripture, observation, application, prayer. And so, you know, we do that privately and kind of read the scriptures, journal through that SOAP method, do that as private devotions. My wife and I would, there are seasons we will do those together, you know, privately. We'll have those private devotions together as a married couple. But that's just something we teach our kids to do that. Okay, we'll do family devotions and we'll go through the SOAP. So just privately in our home, something that we've practiced. But then that moves to the semi-private, and so we would work that into the small groups that met in our church. And I would go to those small group leaders and I would say, hey, look, I want you for the next quarter, so for the next 3 months that this small group meets, we're not going to do a book study, we're not going to do a curriculum, but I want to begin to establish this semi-privately into the church, the discipline of private devotions. And so your small group, I want you to teach the SOAP method. And so I would train the small group leaders. I would teach them mm-hmm. SOAP. We would do those together. Now I want you to take that and I want you to lead your small groups through this. So now it's happening privately. Now it's beginning to spread through the church semi-privately in our small group settings. Having private devotions through the SOAP method. And then, you know, I would take 3 or 4 Sundays out of the year, and I've mentioned this before, but instead of preaching a sermon, I would take that Sunday, and Juliana, my wife, we would sit on the stage or on the platform of the church, and we would do a SOAP. We would have private devotions instead of preaching the sermon. So now we've got a public expression of we're having devotions together. So that was the notes. We try to give handouts to people of the SOAP method and the scripture we were using and let people take notes. We, you know, you've got to always be careful of how you pass the mic around, but we try to give people some time to give us their reflections and then, you know, pass through those moments. And again, you've got to be very careful how you do that. But again, so that's an example of private devotions. Of going from the inside out, privately, semi-private, now public expression. With prayer, it's the same thing. Kind of the same principle, different application. Privately, we talk a lot about prayer models. So as private prayer, praying through prayer models, writing prayer models, and using those in my private times of prayer and worship at home. Now taking that, I would go to our small group leaders and say, all right, look, I want our small groups this quarter to function as prayer groups. And here's how you write a prayer model. I will take a few Sundays and teach them how to do that. Train them. Here's how you write one. Here's how you pray through these. Here's how you lead this kind of pray. And I would say to them, look, I'm going to give you the prayer model every week. So every Sunday, come to my office. I'll give you the prayer model for your small group this coming week. And so now we've got private prayer happening. Now we've got prayer models spreading through the church in our small groups. And I'm thinking about one church where I did that. We were a church that we were really praying and asking the Lord to increase our church, the size and the number of our church. And so we had five prayer groups meeting five different nights of the week in five different parts of the county. And part of that prayer was for evangelism, that there would be an increase in evangelism and converts and new people coming. And I remember one morning, one Sunday morning, and during the middle of this prayer season, 20 brand new people showed up in a Sunday morning service. When you're pastoring a small church, you're trying to get it lifted, trying to get it turned around. When 20 new people show up, that's like, the Red Sea party in your midst. something powerful has just happened. I'm trying to think, Lord, how'd that happen? Where do these people come from? And he's like, well, you've been praying. You've been asking. The church has been praying for this. And so that's the semi-private. And then I would take different churches. We've done this different ways. Some churches we did it once a month, other churches once a quarter, but we would bring the church together for a night of worship and prayer. And we would lead the church in a public expression of praying through prayer models. And so I've taken far too long to describe it, but that's in real time, a real time, real life application. That's two examples of spiritual disciplines that we've been able to use from private to semi-private now to public expression. And man, I can tell you, Bruce, with both of those disciplines in each of the churches we've led them, the spiritual vitality has multiplied in those churches as we work from the inside to the out, from the private to the public expression. And so, so like in the famous words of Forrest Gump, that's all I've got to say about that.
Well, I was going to say, in the words of Snoop Dogg, that's peanut butter on jelly on gold.
All right. Man, we've got the cultural references going here today on the podcast. We want your church ablaze with spiritual life and vitality. And so that's the whole point of the podcast today is to encourage you to provide some practical application. First of all, to encourage you, put a plan together, activate and calendar these disciplines. Then to encourage you. Yes, it's hard work and it's heavy lifting, but on the other side of that is spiritual life, is vitality, is a church set ablaze in the presence of the Lord. And so that's our prayer for you. That's our desire for you and for your church. Is that you would sense and that you would experience the fire of God being released and the church coming, becoming ablaze in the presence of the Lord.
Amen. Well, we're so grateful that you could join us today on the Five Gifts podcast. And remember to follow, like, subscribe, share, make comments below in the comment section. We're always happy to interact with our listeners. We're also close to announcing an educational cohort. We've been in meetings and we're talking to some institutions, and there's a real possibility that you could get your bachelor's, master's, and possibly even a doctorate in a two-year window. That format would include in-person instruction, coaching, and mentoring, a small group atmosphere, and a dynamic lineup of instructors that would greatly speak into your life, and you would want to sit under their teaching. If you're interested in that kind of academic and degree experience, then please contact us at the Five Gifts Podcast at iCloud.com. You can also check us out on our website at fivegifts.org to learn more and keep up date with what's happening with that program. Remember, you can also reach out to Charles. Charles is a certified coach and just a fantastic consultant. He can work with you on creating a customized leadership growth plan for you in the marketplace or in the ministry. And so reach out to Charles at charlesrussellministries.com and charlesrusselltraining.com. You can also reach out to me at coachingcardia.com, and we can work on a spiritual growth plan. We can work on team coaching with your church, and you'll find that to be a very beneficial opportunity for you. We hope to see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next week. You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.